All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're tackling some pretty choppy waters.
Yeah, buckle up.
You've probably heard some chatter about this whole Trump and Panama Canal thing, right?
Yeah, it's been in the headlines.
So he's making some pretty bold claims, but we're going to do what we do here. We're going beyond the headlines to figure out what's really going on.
Absolutely.
We've got a stack of news articles right here on the table that lay out both sides of the story. We've got Trump's fiery, statements. We've got Panama pushing back pretty hard.
It's a real international tug of war.
It is, get ready for a wild ride.
You know what I think is so interesting about this whole situation is that it's not just some random political spat.
Right.
This goes deep. It's really intertwined with over a century of U.S. involvement with the Panama Canal. And I think to really understand what's happening today, we need to look at that historical context.
Okay, so history buffs, get ready to put on your thinking caps.
Yep.
But before we get to the past, let's just, what's going on right now? What are Trump's, big complaints? What are his grievances?
Well, he's claiming that Panama is overcharging U.S. ships to use the canal.
Okay.
And he's demanding that the U.S. gets full control back, and I quote, quickly and without question. And he's even gone so far as to say that Chinese soldiers are running the canal.
Whoa, hold on a second. Chinese soldiers,
Okay.
isn't that a little bit far-fetched?
Yeah, that particular claim about Chinese military presence is factually inaccurate.
Okay.
But, as with most things, there's more nuance to this story than meets the eye.
All right, so let's rewind the tape a little bit and get some historical context here.
Okay.
So the U.S. built the Panama Canal back in the early 1900s,
Right.
and we basically called the shots for decades.
Yeah, for a long time.
But that couldn't last forever, could it?
Right. And that period of U.S. management, while it was impactful for global trade, eventually led to some serious tensions with Panama. Things kind of came to a head in 1964 with those intense anti-American riots.
Oh, wow.
Imagine Panamanians frustrated by,
Yeah.
decades of perceived U.S. control, taking to the streets and demanding change.
Wow, 1964, talk about a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So these riots weren't just some, diplomatic disagreement. This was a full-blown clash.
Absolutely.
So what happened next? I mean, how do you move forward from that?
Well, that's where the Tarijo-Carter Treaties of 1977 come in.
Okay.
And these treaties were a monumental shift in the relationship between the U.S. and Panama.
Huge.
Not only did they guarantee the canal's permanent neutrality, a huge deal, on the world stage, but they also established a timeline for the U.S. to relinquish control, eventually leading to Panama taking full charge in 1999.
So this wasn't some kind of sudden power grab by Panama. This was a carefully planned and agreed upon process that unfolded over decades,
Exactly.
which makes Trump's demands for immediate control even more eyebrow raising.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise that Panama's president, José Raúl Mulino, has kind of fired back with a forceful rebuttal to Trump's accusations. And his message is clear. The Panama Canal belongs to Panama, and they won't be bullied into giving it up.
Yeah, and he's not just playing defense, he's going directly at those overcharging accusations,
Absolutely.
saying U.S. ships aren't being unfairly targeted, that they pay the same rates as everyone else.
Right.
He's even emphasizing that the fees are determined transparently based on factors like ship size, market conditions, operating costs, the whole nine yards.
You know what's so interesting here is that Valino is actually considered to be quite pro-American. He's not some anti-U.S. figure looking to, stir up trouble.
Right.
So when he pushes back this strongly against Trump's claims, it carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, you're right. This isn't just some political posturing.
Wow.
Mulino has a reputation for being a straight shooter.
Yeah, he does.
So if rates have gone up recently and everyone's paying the same, what's the real reason?
Well, to understand that, we need to look at a major environmental challenge that Panama has been dealing with, a severe drought, fueled partly by El Nino and climate change.
Gotcha.
And Gatun Lake, which is, a crucial part of the canal system, has seen its water levels drop significantly.
Wait a minute, climate change.
Yeah.
I thought that was the thing that Trump called a hoax.
Right.
It's a little ironic, isn't it,
It's interesting.
that he's downplaying climate change while it's directly impacting this whole Panama Canal situation?
It really highlights how interconnected these global issues are.
Absolutely.
Climate change isn't some abstract concept,
Right.
It has tangible consequences.
Yeah.
And as you point out, it's even influencing this international dispute.
So we've got the historical backdrop, we've got the rate hikes, we've got Panama's strong response.
Right.
But what about this whole China angle?
Yeah.
Is there any truth to Trump's claim about Chinese soldiers operating the canal?
As we mentioned earlier, that claim about Chinese military presence is simply not true.
Okay.
But there's a nuanced aspect to this story that I think is worth exploring.
Okay, I'm listening.
A Hong Kong-based company, CK Hutchison Holdings, actually manages two ports at the canal's entrances.
Hold on now, isn't Hong Kong part of China?
Exactly.
So even if there aren't soldiers on the ground, does this give China some level of influence over the canal?
It's a question a lot of people are asking.
My mind is starting to race with possibilities here.
It's a valid question, and one that's raising eyebrows in Washington. Think about it. CK Hutchison Holdings likely has access to data on every single ship passing through those ports. Information about cargo destinations, even potentially military movements. That's a potential gold mine of intelligence.
So even without troops, China might have a strategic edge here.
Yeah, it's
It's
funny.
like a geopolitical thriller unfolding right before our eyes.
It certainly adds a layer of complexity. And if we zoom out to the bigger picture, remember that China has a history of leveraging maritime operations for intelligence gathering, even espionage. So while their role in the Panama Canal might not be as overt as Trump suggests, it's definitely something worth paying attention to.
Absolutely.
This whole situation, it really underscores how crucial those Tarrillo-Carter treaties were and still are. I mean, they weren't just about, handing over the keys to the canal. It was about forging this new era of, respect and partnership between the U.S. and Panama.
It was a huge departure from that, like, might makes right attitude of the past.
Absolutely.
And these treaties have been like the bedrock of the relationship for decades.
Yeah, they have. And they've largely succeeded in keeping things stable, ensuring that the canal keeps running smoothly.
It's like those agreements are going through a diplomatic stress test,
Yeah.
and the stakes are pretty high,
Oh,
not
absolutely.
just for the US and Panama, but for global trade and security as a whole.
The Panama Canal is a vital artery for the world's economy.
It
I
is.
mean, millions of tons of goods flow through it every year, connecting those two massive oceans. Any kind of disruption would send shockwaves across the planet.
It's not just about shipping times and costs.
Right.
It's about the flow of essential goods, energy resources, even military movements.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a linchpin in the global supply chain.
Precisely. And that's why the U.S. has such a vested interest in making sure that that canal keeps running smoothly, even if we're not, directly in control anymore.
So, what are our options here?
Well,
I mean, marching in and taking over isn't realistic.
right. No, that's not going to happen.
And playing hardball with Panama doesn't seem like the answer.
Right.
So what's the best way forward?
Well, I think there are a few paths worth exploring. First and foremost, we need to double down on strengthening those diplomatic ties with Panama. Remember, Mulino is considered pro-American. That gives us a solid foundation to build upon.
Nurture that existing goodwill.
Exactly.
But what about this, like, elephant in the room, this China factor? How do we address their growing influence without resorting to like those Cold War tactics?
That's the million-dollar question. We need to be strategic about how we engage with China, not just in Panama, but on the global stage. Head-on confrontation isn't always the answer. Sometimes well-placed partnerships and economic incentives can be much more effective.
So it's about playing the long game.
Exactly.
Building alliances, fostering economic ties, and showing that cooperation, not coercion, is the way to go.
Exactly. And at the same time, we can't lose sight of our own security interests. We need to be realistic about China's ambitions, and invest in intelligence gathering, cybersecurity, bolstering our presence in the region.
It's a delicate balancing act,
Yeah.
projecting strength without being provocative, promoting cooperation while still safeguarding our interests.
It's the defining challenge of our time, really. Navigating this multipolar world where, traditional alliances are being tested, power dynamics are constantly shifting. The Panama Canal situation is just one small piece of this giant geopolitical chessboard.
It's a reminder that there are rarely any simple solutions
Yeah.
in a world this complex.
Right.
What we need are nuanced strategies,
Absolutely.
clear-eyed assessments, and a willingness to, engage in good faith diplomacy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And most importantly, we need to remember that the stakes are high, not just for the U.S. or Panama, but for the entire global community.
The whole world.
The future of the Panama Canal is inseparable from the future of global trade security and prosperity.
It's a big picture perspective to keep in mind.
Yeah, it is.
But, as we've seen, even these seemingly localized disputes can have far-reaching consequences.
Absolutely. You know, this whole conversation, it brings to mind the idea of smart power.
Oh, smart power.
Yeah, it's this concept that's gaining traction in foreign policy circles.
Okay.
It's about using a combination of hard power, like military might, and economic sanctions.
Right.
With soft power, things like diplomacy, cultural influence, and development aid.
So it's not just about, like, you know, flexing your muscles.
Right.
It's about using all the tools in your toolbox.
Exactly. It's like having a toolbox with different tools for different jobs, you know?
Right.
You wouldn't use a hammer for everything.
Right. Sometimes you need a screwdriver. Sometimes you need a wrench.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think smart power is the key to unlocking a solution for this Panama Canal dilemma.
Okay.
You know, we need to leverage our economic and military strength, yes.
Right.
But we also need to prioritize diplomacy, build partnerships, and find common ground with Panama and other regional players.
And maybe even find ways to cooperate with China, where
right.
our interests align.
Exactly.
It's not about surrendering to their ambitions,
right.
but recognizing that there might be areas of mutual benefit.
Absolutely.
Like working together on climate change mitigation, for example.
Right.
I mean, it directly impacts the canal's water resources.
It does.
So it's in everyone's best interest to address it.
Now you're thinking strategically.
Well, thank you.
That's exactly the kind of innovative, collaborative approach we need.
Right.
In this era of global interconnectedness.
Okay. So we've talked about the history, the current challenges, the role of China, the importance of smart power.
Right.
But I'm still left wondering, like, what does all of this mean for the average person?
Hmm.
You know, someone listening to this who might not be a shipping magnate or a foreign policy expert.
Right.
Why should they care about this Panama Canal drama?
That's a fantastic question, and it gets to the heart of why these seemingly distant global issues actually matter to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, the Panama Canal might seem like something that happens over there,
right.
far removed from our daily lives.
Right.
But in reality, it's deeply connected to the things we rely on every day.
Okay. I'm all ears. Help me connect the dots.
Think about it. The products you buy, the clothes you wear, the electronics you use.
Right.
A huge portion of those goods travel across oceans on massive container ships, and a significant number of them pass right through the Panama Canal.
So any kind of disruption to the canal,
right.
either it's because of political spats or extreme weather events,
yeah.
can directly impact the prices we pay.
Absolutely.
And even the availability of those goods.
You gotta, it's a stark reminder that we live in a globalized world.
It is.
Where events on one side of the planet can have ripple effects that touch us all.
And it's not just about those everyday consumer goods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the canal is also a crucial route for energy shipments.
Absolutely.
Things like oil and natural gas.
Right. And those energy prices have a massive impact on our lives.
Oh, yeah.
From how much it costs to fill up our gas tanks.
Right.
To heating our homes.
So this whole diplomatic standoff in Panama
yeah.
could end up hitting us right where it hurts.
It could.
Our wallets.
Exactly. It underscores why it's so crucial to understand these global dynamics.
Yeah.
And engage in thoughtful discussions about how to navigate them effectively.
Okay, so we've established that the Panama Canal matters.
It does.
Even to those of us who aren't, you know, shipping tycoons.
Right.
But what can the average person actually do about it? It
mm-hmm.
feels like such a massive, complex issue.
Well, the first step is awareness. You know, by educating ourselves about these global interconnectedness issues, we start to see the bigger picture.
Right.
And how our own choices and actions fit into it.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
It is.
But what about beyond awareness?
Yeah.
Are there things we can do to actually make a difference?
Absolutely. We can support organizations that are working to promote sustainable practices in shipping and logistics.
Okay.
We can advocate for policies that address climate change.
Right.
And we can engage in thoughtful dialogue about the challenges and opportunities of globalization.
So it's about making informed choices as consumers.
Yeah.
Being politically engaged citizens.
Absolutely.
And supporting initiatives that align with our values.
Exactly. And it's also about recognizing that we're all part of this interconnected global community.
Yeah.
Our actions have consequences, and our voices collectively can make a real difference.
It's a powerful reminder that even amidst these complex geopolitical dynamics,
yeah.
individuals still have the agency to make a positive impact.
Absolutely. And it all starts with understanding the issues, asking questions, and engaging in meaningful conversation.
What?
Just like the one we're having today.
Okay, so we've really gone deep on this Panama Canal controversy.
Yeah, we have.
We dug into the history, the current tensions, China's role, and, you know, what it all means for global trade and security.
and how even individuals can make a difference in, you know, navigating these really complex challenges.
But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with something to ponder.
Okay.
We've been talking about the Panama Canal as this, you know, vital waterway for trade and all.
Right.
But it's also a symbol, isn't it?
It is.
It's a symbol of human ingenuity, of international cooperation.
Yeah, when you think about it.
It's a testament to what we can achieve when we work together. Overcoming these, like, seemingly impossible obstacles, connecting the world in a way that benefits everyone.
You know, it's really inspiring when you think about it that way.
It is. So as we navigate this increasingly interconnected world, you know,
yeah,
let's keep those lessons from the Panama Canal in mind.
Absolutely.
Let's embrace collaboration, innovation, and a commitment to finding solutions that work for all of humanity.
Our shared future kind of depends on it.
It does. It does. Because in the end, you know, our shared future depends on our ability to face these global challenges together.
I think that's a great note to end on.
It is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a pleasure being here.
And we'll see you next time, ready to explore another fascinating corner of our complex world.